ترابا وعظاما أئنا لمبعوثون أوآباؤنا الأولون قل إن الأولين والآخرين لمجموعون إلى ميقات يوم معلوم ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكذبون لآكلون من شجر من زقوم فمالئون منها البطون فشاربون عليه من الحميم فشاربون شرب الهيم هذا نزلهم يوم الدين نحن خلقناكم فلولا تصدقون أفرأيتم ما تمنون أأنتم تخلقونه أم نحن الخالقون نحن قدرنا بينكم الموت وما نحن بمسبوقين على أن نبدل أمثالكم وننشئكم فيما لا تعلمون ولقد علمتم النشأة الأولى فلولا تذكرون أفرأيتم ما تحرثون أأنتم تزرعونه أم نحن الزارعون لو نشاء لجعلناه حطاما فظلتم تفكهون إنا لمغرمون بل نحن محرومون أفرأيتم الماء الذي تشربون أأنتم أنزلتموه من المزن أم نحن المنزلون لو نشاء جعلناه أجاجا فلولا تشكرون أفرأيتم النار التي تورون أأنتم أنشأتم شجرتها أم نحن المنشئون نحن جعلناها تذكرة ومتاعا للمقوين فسبح باسم ربك العظيم فلا أقسم بمواقع النجوم وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم في كتاب مكنون لا يمسه إلا المطهرون تنزيل من رب العالمين أفبهذا الحديث أنتم مدهنون وتجعلون رزقكم أنكم تكذبون فلولا إذا بلغت الحلقوم وأنتم حينئذ تنظرون ونحن أقرب إليه منكم ولكن لا تبصرون فلولا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Brothers and sisters, we welcome you to another program here at the Hadi Institute Youth Community Center hosted by the Light of Guidance. We will, inshallah, get the program started off with Tilawa from the Holy Quran. I'd like to invite Haj Saeed Ghazizadeh to the front to get us started off with Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله صلوا على محمد وآل محمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا بيع ولا شفاعة والكافرون هم الظالمون الله خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم الله علي الذين آمنوا يخرجهم من الظلمات إلى النور والذين كفروا أولياؤهم الطاغوت يخرجونهم من النور إلى الظلمات أولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد.
Wonderful rest. Wonderful recitation by Brother Saeed. Welcome anytime while you're here. Would love to hear more from you. May Allah give you more tawfiq, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Quickly, just going over some announcements here. Our next program, inshallah, is going to be next Friday, June 24th, the continuation of the Good Life series. After that, inshallah, the day after, which is June 25th, inshallah, we're organizing the Hadi Institute is organizing a family picnic. It's going to be on the 25th, June 25th, Saturday at 3 p.m. at Swapka Park in Dearborn Heights, which is actually just a few miles from here. More than welcome to attend with your families, and if you guys are need information, the information is being sent out on social media, so follow there. Just a note about just keep an eye on our WhatsApp and social media for any updates on programming. We have a library of books in the back. Feel free to avail yourself. There's a list of prices, so you can feel free to browse through those and pick up what you like. Lastly, inshallah, we, as you all know, there is a cafeteria downstairs for any of the kids that want to just run around and enjoy themselves, so feel free to take advantage of that. And there's a nursing room for mothers who want to take advantage of that. With that, I would like to welcome Sheikh Usama to the minbar with salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to each and every one of you. It's good to have you back. I hope everybody's doing well. Now, before we begin tonight's talk, a dear friend of mine from the, back in the days in the Hausa, his father passed away. Sheikh Hussein Al-Makki, we started the Hausa together. His father passed away recently, and I'd like us to remember all of our marhumin, all of your deceased ones, inshallah, and especially his father. And please join me in reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, preceded by Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now, by the grace of Allah, brothers and sisters, today we're going to go back to... Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum. Alhamdulillah, the children here know that this place is their home. By the grace of Allah, that's one of the things that we thank Allah for, that children are not unwelcome here, that we want them out of the majlis in order for us to enjoy the majlis. However, we do also, of course, want to be able to train our children that we don't come to the majlis to play, for instance. So that's why, as brother mentioned before, if our children need to express that need for freedom to play, then of course they're more than welcome to play downstairs. Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So now what happens is we're going to get back to some of our very important life skills. We had some very important Islamic life skills that we were going over. One of them, which is a topic which is very needed, absolutely necessary, is something that we began several weeks ago. It was called raising our boys to be men and our girls to be flowers. We're taking them the advice from Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam. And this is a topic that really needs to be fleshed out. It's not a topic that in 1 minute we'll go over and address every point that could ever be addressed about this. Rather, it's something that needs to be addressed in detail and over several lectures. If we have it addressed properly, if we get a chance to see the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt, the ayat of the Quran, and get that complete picture, then of course we will understand it not only, but we'll also be able to present it, inshallah, to others. So having said that, we need to flesh it out. It's not something to quickly just go over. And there's a lot of detail, a lot of ahadith, a lot of things that we have to kind of keep in mind. We recently had a dress-up day in our school for our little girls and our little boys. And it was interesting to see the occupations that were chosen. Everybody wants to go over and dress up. This is what I'd like to be in the future. One thing that was very interesting to all of us, though, is that we didn't see, this is now just kind of a lesson and kind of telling us how important these talks are. We didn't see that any of the little girls, for instance, said, I want to grow up to be a housewife. None of the boys said, I want to grow up to be a daddy. It was always something else, right? How do you change that? How do you create a culture where literally your children from a young age are looking forward to these future roles? I would like to be one day a father. I would love to be a wife and a mother. How do we do this? When I say it requires details and it requires talk, part of it's for this reason. Our wives and our daughters, but our wives now, let's say because we're trying to train our children, our wives need to be celebrated for being mothers and wives. To actually have to be celebrated for that. We've seen and we know the ahadith about parents, how important parents are, right? We know those ahadith. And especially we learn from the ahadith, our mother, right? The Quran says, وَبِالْ وَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. But when it comes to the mother, Islam obviously has a different, right? There's a reason for these things. There's strategic goals that Islam has. There's a reason why Imam Khamenei says our children should be trained to kiss their mother's hand. Right? They have to be celebrated. You want to have this happen in the future? We have to be celebrated. Okay, so this is a topic that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed properly. We're not in a big rush that in one day, tell me all the hadith, Sheikh, and then get out of here. No, no, we'll take our time. We'll go one step at a time. We'll figure it out, inshallah. Now, this also, there's a little bit of context to today's talk. This is, well, we're in the belly of the beast, right? We're in the belly of the beast. And this is Pride Month. Pride Month. Literally, we're in a society where things are so upside down. Some of the things that I'm going to tell you, which is, of course, for us as the Hadi family, this stuff is so bizarre, but we have to explain these things. We have to actually tell our children that no, it's not fair for a biological male to swim and compete against women and to be the greatest female swimmer ever known to man. I mean, it would be surprising. Like, this, that shouldn't be a discussion that we have, but we actually, like, why is it in the Olympics a biological male is weightlifting and of course defeating all the, like, wait, for you and I, we think that that's so stupid, that's so bad, but we're in the belly of the beast. There is an all-out attack on Islamic values. There's an all-out attack on men, on manhood, an all-out attack, all-out war. You see, for these guys, for them, they've made the LGBT movement their marhab. And they're mowing everybody down. I mean, you and I, we read the news. Recently, you've seen how President Biden, or as some of you might say, Sleepy Joe, signed an executive order. This is important stuff. Like, some people won't understand how devastating this is. There's some Muslims literally who have drunk the Kool-Aid. They don't know how devastating this is. An executive order banning what they call conversion therapy. There's somebody who's struggling with this issue, who is coming from a place of faith, who says that I don't think this is right, but yes, like other human beings, sometimes I struggle with same-sex attraction, and the person trying to help them from a divine point, that's banned. This is the society that we're living in. So in a society like this, You and I, we have to remind ourselves of what Islam does say about the lifestyle of homosexuality. How terrible is this sin in the Quran? As fathers and mothers, as teachers, as big brothers, as big sisters, we have to talk about the people of Lut and how God, the same God we say is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, was so furious with these people that he literally destroyed them with three chastisements from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one of them would have been enough to finish them off. But God said, no, I have to teach mankind how terrible this sin is. So first that dreadful roar, they were toast. But then God said, no, that's not enough. Then the malaika take that city, lift it into the air, and smash the city onto the ground. Again, that would have been enough. And then literally, stones raining from heaven. How terrible a sin this is. What does it mean that we're even in a society where Pride Month is celebrated? And then the part where the Muslims have to be careful. The wife of Nabi Lut. In the Quran, there's a story, an integral part of the story. How big a sin is it to condone this month and this lifestyle? How many times do you think it will be good for Allah to mention the wife of Lut in the story? Remember, she's the age of being a grandmother. Wonderful daughters. The wife of a Nabi and a Rasul. Not gay. The Quran is very clear. She was not gay. She condoned the lifestyle. How many times would it be good for Allah to mention that in the Quran? The story of how she got exactly what they got. The Quran mentions her 8 times. 8 times. So now, you know, here at the Hadi Institute, we try to keep it 100%. We don't apologize for Islam. We don't back down. We're not intimidated. So, we're going to address this issue, meaning now we're back to our life skills. Part of our life skills was raising our boys to be men. Min al-mu'minin rijal. Ayat of Quran. Raising our boys to be men. We're not apologetic of the role that, yes, there are gender roles. There is a separation. There are many duties which are same, and there are some that are separate, that are different, and we don't back down and we don't apologize. For that reason, because it's Pride Month, and in order for you and I to raise our children properly, we need to have our fathers engaged and checked in. Our fathers. You want to raise the soldiers of the Mahdi? The fathers have to be engaged and checked in. That means that because it's Pride Month, we'll start by talking about the wilaya of the father and the husband. The wilaya of the father and the husband. Does it mean there's no respect in Islam for women? No, 100%. This isn't the idea that we're going to go over and talk about. But right now, in this time, what to talk about without apology? That at least the truth be heard. There are some people who in the end of time still believe in Islam as God revealed it. So for this reason, brothers and sisters, inshallah, we'll be talking about the wilaya of the father and the husband. And we tell people without apologies, we say it's true. Men don't get pregnant. In Islam, we don't run away from these things. As Imam Ali says, La ta'tadhir, Imam Ali says. Don't apologize. Min amran ata'ta Allah fih. Never apologize. When you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't apologize for obeying God's deen. He says, فَكَفَى بِذَلِكَ مَنْقَبًا. that is sufficient as an honor for you, that you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a story that, as I usually say, inshallah, it's not true. They said once, this mother was serving some pancakes to her children, two little boys, Kevin and Ryan. And the little boys started to argue over who would get the first pancake. And the mother said, you know what, this is a teachable moment. She said, boys, if Jesus was here, you know what Jesus would say? Jesus would say, let my brother have the first pancake. So Ryan turned to Kevin. He said, Kevin, you be Jesus. Sometimes as Muslims, we need to let everybody else be Jesus. عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا وَعَلِهِ وَعَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ Now, for us, what does Islam say? What happens is, there are a couple of questions that inshallah I'd like to talk about. Again, for those who only hear part of this lecture, it doesn't mean that we haven't, that the other part has to be fleshed out. We have to get to that. Right now, wilayah of the Father. A couple of questions that we need to address, inshallah, over this time. Salawat, please. What does it even mean to be the wali of the house? We want to have a father, and I'm the wali of the house. What does that even mean? What are some of the things we should be promoting, practicing, pushing, if we want to say that our men should be the wali of the house? One question. Question number two. What happens to children if the father isn't the wali of the house? What happens to the boys? What happens to the girls? Is there a price that we pay? Let's say, instead of saying that Islam is a religion where it's a package deal, I can't take part of Islam, what I like of Islam. What happens to the children and the family where the father isn't the wali of the house? That's another question. Number three, which is really challenging, is why is it so difficult a concept to establish? What are some of the challenges that if these challenges can be overcome from Quran and Sunnah, this would lead to an easier thing? And then the last question, which is what we'll end up on, is the idea that let's say there was someone who in his house, he wasn't the wali of a house. Let's say there was a situation where the husband didn't feel that in my house, I'm the wali of the house. What does Islam say? Should I fight tooth and nail to become the wali of the house, even at the price of the house? Is there any strategy? Is there any advice? Is it Karbala? How do we establish the wilayah in the house properly? But we'll start with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. One of the things that we're going to keep in mind is this. We are not trying to raise our families with the mentality of the Khawarij. The Khawarij, brothers and sisters, we remember, were those people who rejected the wilaya of Amirul Mu'mineen. And they used to famously say that we need not to have a leader. We don't have to have a leader. We don't have to have a wali. Ayat of Quran. In al-hukum illa lillah. God is the wali. In al-hukum illa lillah. We don't need to have a human being be a leader. Question. Do we want to have a society or raise our children in such a way that there's no clear leadership in the house? There's no chain of command. No clear chain of somebody everybody has to listen to. Rather, we'll raise the house in such a way, children, listen to everybody. No leader, listen to everybody. And in the meantime, I want the akhlaq to be very good. Everybody be very tolerant of one another. Everybody be nice to one another. But there's no leader. There's no chain of command. The mentality of the Khawarij. Or is it the case that in Islam, there's a clear chain of command? Now we're going to look at some of the ayat of the Quran. So the answer of Amirul Mu'mineen, to the Khawarij. We mentioned the other day, hadith from the Imam. Is it the case that we don't need to have any sort of leadership? No, the Imam says this. La budda linnas min amir. People must have a leader. The Imam says, even if the leader isn't perfect, even if the leader isn't the greatest, even if the leader doesn't have every trait of a wonderful leader, the Imam says, he says, La budda linnas min amir bar aw fajir. Whether he be good, whether anarchy, no. But then if we do want to have leadership, who is the leader for? Is it a democracy in an Islamic family? Now again, some of these things are things that need to be fleshed out. Does that mean there's no respect for the wife? Does that mean she's to be trampled? Right? Those are questions. But right now, remember, we're establishing the wilayah of the father. Those other details we do need to work out, and we will work out. Is it a democracy? Actually, no. There's clearly supposed to be the case that the husband is the wali of house. Again, an ayat of Quran. This is Surah Baqarah, and it's verse number 228. Allah says, Wallahunna, and for women, Wallahunna, mithlu alladhi alayhinna bil ma'ruf. The same way that men have certain rights over women, women also have rights over men in a reasonable fashion. Right? وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. That's clear. What else though? وَلِلْرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. But the men have a rank over them. Does this mean in the eyes of God, men are worth more than women? In the eyes of God? Ayat of Quran says, وَلِلْرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. Right? So is a man intrinsically better than a woman? Now, for any follower of the Ahlul Bayt, then could any man, however great he was, ever think that I could be better than Sayyida Fatima? Is that even a question? The Imam says that she is my role model. The Imam says. The Quran answers that question in another verse, where it says that inna akramakum indallah atqakum. The person who has the most honor in God's eyes is the person who has the most taqwa. What we're talking about here is the chain of command in the family. There has to be a leader. Ayat of Quran. Right? The Prophet says this. He says, Kullu nafsin min bani Adam sayyid. Everybody, every human being has a leadership role. فَالرَّجُلْ سَيِّدُ أَهْلِهِ. The man is in charge of his family. Now, because we're modeling this behavior, we need to hear some of the things, again, for our families to aspire to. What should we be like? Hadith now from a middle mu'mini, from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The Prophet's now describing what a good woman should be like. The best of your women. Again, we haven't fleshed out the topic properly, but the best of your women. This hadith from the Prophet, he says this. Inna khayra nisa'ikum. Truly, the best of your women. He says, Al-Walud, Al-Wadud, Al-Afifa, Al-Azizatu fi Ahliha. If a woman can have children, actually she wants to have children. Al-Walud. Al-Wadud, loving, Rasulullah says. What else? Al-Afifa, chaste, modest, haya. Rasulullah says, he says, and this part many people mistranslate, Al-Azizatu fi Ahliha. Al-Azizatu fi Ahliha. This part is mistranslated by many. Al-Aziza, for instance, in Farsi, if somebody's Aziz, that has a certain meaning. Somebody's Aziz, they're very respected, for instance. What does Al-Aziza mean in Arabic? Izzah. When we say Allah is Aziz, Allah is invincible, impenetrable. When it says she is al-aziza fi ahliha, that means even in her own family members, she's unassailable when it comes to the wilaya of her husband. Al-azizatu fi ahliha. How's she supposed to be with her husband? Remainder of the hadith. Al-dhalilatu ma'a ba'liha. Humble before her husband. Hadith, Rasulullah says. He says, al-mutabarraja ma'a zawjiha. When she's with her husband, she's supposed to be dressed up, go all out, dynamite. Al-hisan ala ghayrihi. But then, when she's away from her husband, then of course she dresses very modestly. He said, and it continues, allati tasma'u qawlah, the woman who listens to his words. All of these things are showing who's the leader, right? Watuti'a amrah, and obeys his command. All of these things are there. So, our first question. Our first question was this. What does it mean for the man even to be the wali of the house? So that we can see that, are we working towards that? Does that the right steps? At least we're moving in that direction. One of the things that's obviously there from the ahadith, and I've shared certain ahadith about this before, is the idea that the husband is to be obeyed. Obeyed. Now, we've been given broad guidelines by the Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam. We cannot obey anyone when it comes to sin. That you say, because I like you, then you're telling me to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I obey because God's, right? Even if it's my father or my husband. When it comes to sin, the ayat of Quran, we talked about this the other day, the idea that it's shirk billah, associating partners with Allah to obey the creation and disobedience of the creator. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about these non-issues, but now the couple disagree on it. And we're going to talk a little bit about, okay, well, let's say my husband comes up with this really scatterbrained idea. Right? Well, what do you want me to do? Islam says obey? Because that's the part we're getting to the other question of why it's so challenging. I mean, if every husband was like Amir al-Mu'mineen, then yeah, she obeys his command, whatever he says. But then, a lot of our husbands are like the brothers on this side of the wife's like, okay, how does that work? Now, what happens though, we'll first define, then after that, why is it so difficult? That's the other question. Why is this so difficult? What happens is the husband is to be obeyed when he doesn't disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the leader of the house. He's in charge. In addition to that, scholars say that also the husband is to be consulted. Let's say the husband has a clear command. We should be doing this. Alhamdulillah, bismillah, we'll go this. We'll do this. But also consult with the husband. What do you think about this particular thing? And then again, in order to demonstrate that I'm following, he gives a suggestion, we'll follow that suggestion. The hadith talk about treating him also as the leader of the home, as in hadith now. We mentioned this the other day. When the husband comes home, the hadith says that the wife walks to the door and she meets him at the door. When he leaves, instead of, well, let yourself out, hadith says that she walks him to the door. When she sees him concerned, then the wife tells the husband, why are you concerned? She sees he's worried. She says, if you're concerned about your akhirah, inshallah, Allah increase you in concern and worry. If you're concerned about rizq, how are you going to make it? How are we going to pay the rent? How are we going to meet the mortgage? How are we going to pay the bill? If you're concerned about rizq, then you don't worry about that. There's somebody besides you who takes care of that. And hadith says, if a woman will do this, Every day she gets the reward of 70 shaheed. Right? So this is a little bit of what it is for the husband to be the, a little bit of what it is for him to be the wali. Now, the difficult part was, okay, why is this so challenging? But before we get to that, let's ask another question. The other question is this. What happens to the family if it's not modeled? What happens to the boys? What happens to the girls if it's not modeled? If we don't lead in that way. We still have that other question of, well, does that mean as a husband I go crazy? That's the other last question. Right now, though, if it's not modeled, what happens? Brothers and sisters, there's something which is very important. We're going to talk about the effect that it has on boys first. One part of the effect that it has on boys. The resistance learned a very important lesson. The lesson that the resistance learned was this. If you have a young man and you put him in a military academy, and then now, as an officer, I graduate and you make him a general to command people, they saw there was a marked difference between that person and the person who had learned to be a good soldier. What was that person like? The resistance. There's one person who was first a grunt, a GI. Then he becomes a platoon leader. Then he becomes a sergeant. Then this man goes up the ranks until he becomes a commander. There's a big difference between the person who learned how to be a good soldier, how to follow commands, what it is like to be on the ground, what it's like to be a soldier, what do you share, what do you feel? How does a boy learn that? Is it that we just tell our boys from the very beginning, no, you're going to be a leader. Lead over everybody. Rule over. When do our boys learn to be good soldiers? What is it like even to be a good soldier? Well, you can go over and share your opinion properly. You speak. One time, I'm a resentful soldier. I am so angry at you. But I never really said what was on my mind. I've just been listening to you, watching, making foolish decision after foolish decision after foolish decision. Finally, I'm like, enough is enough. Another time, no, I share my opinion. I'll answer that part, though, a little bit more once we get to why it's such a challenge. But right now, how do I learn how to be a good soldier? A good soldier is a good soldier when I disagree with the leader. It's not when we both agree that I agree with what you're doing. So now, this happens in some families. Daddy is like a boogeyman that you whip out of the closet. Listen to mommy! Now get back in that closet. Alhamdulillah. No. So he's not your wali, not anybody's wali. Bring him out. Mommy's the wali. Mommy wears the pants in this family. That's the wrong way. What's the right way? The right way is when we disagree, I demonstrate what it's like to have a wali. I'm a cheerful soldier. Cheerfully, I obey. Sayyida Fatima taught us this lesson. I don't know if brothers and sisters remember this. Remember that very emotional story that they tell us about Sayyida Fatima, where those same individuals who had attacked her house said that they wanted to meet with her. Publicity stunt. They want to meet with Sayyida. And Sayyida was furious. She would not meet with them. What did they do? These individuals then went to Amirul Mu'mineen and they asked him, the wali of Sayyida Fatima, for permission to go see her. Now she tells a very important hadith while she's same time she's demonstrating the principle in action. She also teaches us a very important principle. Let's listen to the words of the Sayyida, right? When she's dealing with her wali. Imam Ali tells us, so she tells him, I don't want to meet with these terrible individuals. He says, I promised them. She says this, إِن كُنْتَ قَدْ ذَمِنْتَ لَهُمَا شَيْئًا. If you promise something to them, فَالْبَيْتُ بَيْتُكَ. The house is your house. وَالنِّسَاءُ تَتَّبِعُ الرِّجَالِ. Women follow their husbands, cheerfully supporting her wali, not angrily, not resentfully. Then what happened? Oh, we know what happened then. The individuals came into the house. It got real uncomfortable real quick. We went through that, so I'm not Messiah right now, but you know how it worked. She followed the wali. She was a good soldier, and how that helped advance the cause, right? But we learned now from Sayyidah how to be a good soldier. I cheerfully support the wali when I disagree. The children need to learn this. Sometimes when men become part of an Islamic organization, they literally can't work well with the organization because I'm always have to be a leader. I used to say back in the day, we have too many chiefs and not enough Indians. Everybody, I want to lead. I want to be in charge. I want to tell everybody what to do. Well, what about following? What about going with the majority rule? What, right? Cheerfully. Rolling my eyes. I'm not going to do this anymore. Right? Learning to be a good soldier. So this needs to be modeled. Boys need to see this modeled. Later on, they'll know what to do. How it should be. Right? The experience of the resistance. If you want to be a good leader, you've got to learn to be a good follower. You've got to learn how it works. There's more to say about this. The Quran talks about a very good example of being that good soldier. Again, the example of the Quran is a woman in the Quran, the Queen of Sheba, Bilqis. What happens? Very fascinating story in the Quran. The Quran talks about a situation where Nabi Sulaiman sent a letter to the Queen of Sheba. If you look at the letter, nowadays, in this time where everybody is so kind of super triggered by everything, the letter is kind of triggering. Because he tells her to submit, to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the part where I want us to get the lesson from. Remember, in this story, we're talking about a leader, the Queen of Sheba. There's certain principles that are there. Ayatollah Subhani, he mentions these principles. So, she's a leader. She gets this letter. This is a new challenge. Remember, Nabi Sulaiman is someone who comes and he has the mightiest armies on earth. The people, the jinn, the animals, the wind. In the Quran, she seeks counsel with her inner circle. Again, leadership qualities. Do we seek counsel? Do we talk? Do we let people share their opinions? Now the good soldier part. If you look at the ayat of Quran, the inner circle, they did what you need to do to make your leader effective. Instead of scaring her, Sulaiman's coming, you better. What did they tell her? They said that we're a mighty army. We can handle this. We can take, ayat of Quran, we can take care of this. And then they said this. They said that we're very powerful. Wal amru ilayk. But it's your decision. Make your best decision. Make your best decision. Wal amru ilayk. We're ready. So, if this doesn't happen, share a little experience that Sheikh Panahian shared one time. He was talking about one mother who was very, very successful when it came to getting other young women to wear the hijab. She was a principal at an all-girls school, and maybe 1,000 young women she'd been able to convince them to wear the hijab. She was complaining to the sheikh that I haven't been able to convince my own daughters. Now again, this is one case study, it's not all, right? So the sheikh asked her a question. He said, what's the relationship like between you and your husband? Is it the case that your husband's the wali of the house? He's in charge. He's respected. You listen to him. Or no? She said, well, you know, he's not educated. She was the wali of the house. She couldn't submit. She couldn't follow. What happens then is her love, her husband's love, to her daughters was rendered ineffective. He was a softy. He was a pushover. He was a weakling. Everybody knew she was in charge. Outside, she could talk a lot about Islam. Inside, when the kids were living Islam, the father was ineffective. And the girls needed a bad boy. They needed somebody that they could respect so that his love would matter. So that's something really dangerous we want to keep in mind about that. Now, the idea is that there are such spiritual rewards now for doing this, for obeying. Hadith. Imam Sadiq says this, إِذَا صَلَّتَ الْمَرْأَى خَمْسَ. If a woman will pray her 5 daily prayers, وَصَامَتْ شَهْرَ. She fasts for the month of Ramadan. وَعَطَاعَتْ زَوْجَهَا. And obeys her husband. وَعَرَفَتْ حَقَّ عَلِيٍّ. And she knows Ali, the right of Ali. The hadith tells her she can enter paradise from any of the doors that she wants. Why? Remember, like I said, this is a challenge. It will be great if every husband was Amirul Mu'mineen, if he was all wise, if he had never made a dumb decision. But let's say, actually, my husband and I were close in age. Actually, sometimes he does come up with foolish decisions. Then what? Still follow? Let's say the husband, as an example, husband says that I want to move to Burkina Faso. Shout out to all of my brothers in Burkina Faso. Right? I want to move to Burkina Faso, and I want to plant potatoes. And the wife's like, well, you know, great, but I mean, potatoes, Burkina Faso? It is a little difficult unless the wife knows this is now her relationship to God. My husband doesn't control my destiny. This is difficult. If I just believe in what's apparent, then it's very scary. Burkina Faso, you want to buy tickets? But what about if my husband doesn't control my destiny? And he's not all powerful. And God does. And God's fair. And God's wise. If that's the case, if I'm in Allah's care, then what do I need to do? Like Sayyidah Maryam in the Quran, I need to shake the branch, shake the tree. That would mean the wife would tell the husband very nicely, very respectfully, you know, I mean, I love the idea of going to Timbuktu. I think it's, you know, but I just, you know, being a potato farmer, I don't know if we should do that right now. But do I have to misbehave? Do I have to get all worked up? Do I have to, I don't, because he doesn't actually control anything. Who does? God! As long as I'm doing my part, God's going to take care of it. The hadith of Ahlul Bayt tell us that if a person prevents a right from Allah, they'll spend twice that in batil. Let's say I go over, hadith from Imam Hussein. He says that whoever tries to get what they want from Allah by misbehaving, he says you're closer to the thing that you were so afraid of. That happened. God's running the universe. God's fair. When I do my part, God takes care of it. I don't have to go crazy and throw a fit, roll my eyes. Because with all due respect to my husband, he doesn't control anything. Allah, not a leaf doesn't fall from the tree without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When my belief in God is strong, then it doesn't matter that it seems my husband is the primary breadwinner. It seems he's got the money. This allows to go over and share and talk and be feminine about it. And to go with the decisions which are not against Allah's rules. So a little bit about that. Now, the other one that we kind of want to keep in mind is this, that sometimes women forget how powerful they are when they're soft and feminine. I can say this here at the Hadi Institute, alhamdulillah. The Hadi family will listen. Otherwise, I remember some sheikh, he tried to make some remark about femininity being a gift from Allah. And I looked at the comments that they made to the sheikh. Yikes, sheikh! unfollowed. What does Rasulullah say about it? If I'm feminine, the hadith from the Prophet says that I've seen no one who can rob a man of his intellect like a woman. Literally, the husband will be eating out of his wife's hand if she's soft about it. I don't have to be hard and I have to have my own back. What about if Allah has my back? What about if I'm soft and gentle and do my responsibility? The hadith says that no one can rob to the extent that a man wants to please his wife so much. This is what you even hear from Westerners. They say if a wife really wants to be mean to her husband, never be happy. No matter what he does, he keeps trying to just never be happy. Women have no idea how dependent their husbands are to them for emotional support, for approval. They don't know how, the power that they hold. Just honest, sincere admiration. When a woman looks up to a man, they don't know what that, right? Unless somebody already knows the secret, right? The hadith of Rasulullah. If somebody knows the hadith, then they would say, dynamite comes in small packages. No reason to go and flip out. Now, obviously there's a lot more to say about this, but we've run out of time. So inshallah, we will end now. We haven't answered that question about, well, now I'm going to rest back, wilaya. We just ran out of time. That's not the answer, brothers. If anybody's thinking, well, now I'm going to go home. Thank you, Sheikh. Those are the hadith I needed to hear. No, there's an answer, inshallah. We'll talk about more of that later. We end with salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
JazakAllah, Sheikh. Thank you so much for that. Just one thing to announce. The Hadi Institute has a summer youth program called Sunshine Youth. It's going to be starting in June, late June. It's Tuesdays and Fridays, 2 to 5 p.m. For ages 5 to 11. Please feel free to avail yourself of that program if you have children that age. And the information can be found on our social media. And join us, inshallah, for next Friday at 7 p.m. here at Hadi Institute for another Good Life lecture. With that, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إذا وقعت الواقعة ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة